know, it is so unfortunate. And I could find myself, I was that, and my immaturity as a young man, I felt that way. You know, I didn't look at what was being told to me as trying to help me grow. I kind of felt it was trying to hinder me. You know, and I thought I had the answers, and I had it all figured out, and to my own fault. Tell me about, how about yourself? What was your experience in that area with they talking about that wisdom aspect of it? And this is an invitation of wisdom leading to life and understanding. And that's what this, that passage of scripture kind of is based on. Have you found yourself resistant to that type of wisdom at some point in your life?
For a long time. Like in high school, you know, you have those friends that lead you the wrong way, and you have those friends that tell you it's not the right way. So I had a best friend, her name is Caitlin. Love her a lot. At the time, I was with my friend's father. We had a very toxic relationship in high school, and I wanted to appease him. And I was doing things the wrong way, and my best friend would tell me, like, you shouldn't be doing that, you shouldn't be speaking up, you shouldn't be doing this and this and this. And, you know, at the time I was like, you can't tell me what to do because I'm not doing anything wrong. Like, you're the problem here. And it was always, we were always going back and forth because I wanted to make my boyfriend happy and this and that. And I wasn't caring about what my best friend had to say. And for a long time, like, she was just, like, trying to help. And I always was like, you're not helping me. Like, there's no way you're helping me. There's, you know, I was always getting mad at her, pointing my finger, like you said. And now I look back, I'm like, you know, she was always there to help, and I wasn't taking the criticism, I wasn't taking, you know, the step to understand where she was coming from, because I wasn't taking her wisdom that way. I was taking it, like,
Yeah. Regardless of even now, question. Mm-hmm. Now this is a question. Did you know what she was saying was right, or did you just not know, or did you even care? Did you really consider what she was saying?
So in some situations, I knew she was right. In others, I just was completely, you know, defiant and stuck on. You know, me and my boyfriend had like a very, a really, really rough patch. And instead of sitting inside with her, I snuck out to go hang out with him, and I knew it was wrong. And I knew she was completely right in that situation. But instead, I still pointed my finger at her. And it hit me right in my body at the end of the day. And I went back and I said,
how about you, Jermaine? Could you relate to not acknowledging the wisdom, the invitation of wisdom, and just when it could have led to a better life or better decisions, instead you went towards the bottom?
Yeah, all the way up to like recently, like last year, I would say I started listening more. Like the people around me, understand that point, because I always felt like when somebody not tell me something, I always like, how do you know what's best for me? That's what I always felt like. But a lot of times, a lot of people didn't know what's best for me. But I was hard headed all the way up to the point to where I had to listen. And that's like losing something, or getting myself hurt, or somebody into something, or getting locked up to where I had no other choice but to listen to somebody.
Into something.
A lot of losing stuff and consequences before I realized, let me start listening a little bit.
So, Jermaine, let's read following invitation 13 through 18, leading to death and destruction.
Following 9, Verse 15 said, call out to those who pass by who are getting their pastures. Whoever is naive and inexperienced, let him turn to hear. And to him who lacks understanding, common sense, she says, stolen waters, settled, are sweet because of the forbidden, and bread eaten in secret pleasant. But he does not know the spirits of the dead are there, and that our guests are already in the depth of shoulder. The neither world, the place of the so that I will not be fooled and deny you and say, who is Lord, and that I will not pour and steal, and so profane the name of my God. He will turn and hear away from listening to the law of God and man. Even a player is repulsive to God.
You're right. So we see two contrasting women, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, are symbolic to the path a person can take in the way of wisdom and righteousness and the way of foolishness and sin. And as we look at this here, we all can relate to some point in our life where we took a path of either going the righteous way or going the foolish way, you know, took that path. And our prayer here today is that as we go through this here chapter of scripture, that we can give more insight and more understanding as to choosing the right path compared to going in the way of God. Because one thing about life, we always have a choice, you know, and each one of us spoke about those opportunities where the path that we did take, we didn't have to take, but it came down to a choice that we made. And so here in the invitation to wisdom said, in verse 1, it said, wisdom has built her house. She has hung her 7 pillars. And the key observation is wisdom is well established and prepared. The house is strong with 7 pillars, possibly symbolizing completeness and divine perfection. She has prepared a feast, verse 2, which represents spiritual nourishment. And verse 4, she calls out to the simple, meaning wisdom is available. Anyone who seeks it. You know, so here is telling us, regardless of what our situation is, God always places people in our life to give us some wisdom. The key is, are we going to accept it? You know, because it goes back to, like you all said, we was basing it off of how we felt, what we thought, and we didn't want to hear what someone else had. Even though they had the experience, even though we probably even sometimes knew there was something or something right, but it wasn't what we wanted. And then we had to go through the consequences of those choices. You know, and it's so unfortunate that we tend to do that. And even sometimes, y'all both got kids, right? And we got one older than. Your child is what he is on now. He'll be two. So he still knows something, but you see, a lot of times you still make some decisions contrary to what you're talking to do, right? I know you experienced that. You know, and so just imagine as they get older. So it's going to be more time that we got to continue to pour into them the right thing, because if it's left up to them, they're going to do what they want to do, what's pleasing to them, and it's not necessarily the right thing. So, and not that our parents didn't give us those choices or didn't set the foundation for us, but once we were mature enough to make the decisions for ourselves, and we had to deal with the consequences of it. Do you want to read lesson one, lesson first one?
Godly wisdom is solid and trustworthy, a firm foundation for life. Wisdom is an open invitation to all, but only those who accept it will benefit. Accepting wisdom requires leaving behind foolish ways.
Wow. And this is based off of verse 6. Godly wisdom is solid and trustworthy, a firm foundation for life. You know, and for us who are walking differently, who are making some different decisions than we used to make, we can see this and can understand this now compared to being younger and immature and not having that much relationship with the Word and even some decision making, you know, because we still have some desires and we still got some things that we want to do, but now we got wisdom that keeps us from making the wrong decision. I might want to do that, but is it beneficial? What are the consequences of making that choice? You know, now we got the wisdom, the insight to discern and make better decisions instead of just going with how we feel and what we think. You know, and that's what it's saying. And it goes to say again, wisdom as an open invitation to all, but only those who accept its benefits. Only those who accept its benefits. So if you don't accept the benefit, if you don't accept it, you don't get it. If you don't accept the wisdom, you don't get the benefits of it. And too often we reject the wisdom. You know, and that's why I make it my business that I said all the time that I try to give out the information. What you do with it is up to you. But you won't be able to say nobody told you. You know, and I think that's very important that people don't, because then you don't have that excuse that I didn't know that. You don't have that excuse. You want to read that modern application?
Yeah. Modern application. We must be intentional about pursuing wisdom. It won't just happen. Just as we need food for our bodies, we need God's wisdom for our souls. Many young people chase quick pleasure, but true success and peace come from wisdom.
Many young people chase quick pleasure, but true success comes from peace and from wisdom. That's power. And it said, we must be intentional in pursuing wisdom. It won't just happen. Just as we need food for our body, we need God's wisdom for our soul. Listen, everybody here right now, we're here because some people spoke some wisdom in our life. And also because of some situations that we had to go through, that we didn't have too much of a choice. Either we're going to seek some wisdom, do it differently, or we're going to go down that road of folly, which leads to death and destruction. And I don't know anybody who wants death and destruction intentionally. You know, if you know what you're doing, what it's going to lead to, we know that's going to come. Death is going to come, but I'm not going to pursue death. So that means I'm not going to do things that's going to put me in jeopardy. You know, and that's what happened to a lot of us. We made some decisions back then that put us in jeopardy of, may not have been death, but it was a lot of destruction. It wasn't good for our life. You know? And this is why we're talking here today. That's why we've been talking about the book of Proverbs, because it's all about wisdom. It's all about seeking wisdom. And this book came from one of the richest and the greatest men richest man on earth during that time. Yet every woman he wanted, whatever he desired, he was able to have. People came from all over the world to seek him out. But he realized having all those things meant nothing without having the wisdom of God. He said it meant nothing at all without the wisdom of God. Verse 12. Can you read that verse?
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the page.
Oh, okay. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you.
So, it says here, fools hate correction, but wise people appreciate it. Wise people appreciate it. Do you appreciate people giving you some instruction? Now, before, in our immaturity, how we felt about instruction and correction. You didn't like it? You rebuked it? How about you today? You know, and I see this a lot now. People call my sons and my nieces and nephews sometimes. I'm like, I'm telling them something, they're like, oh, we got it. I got this. It's not, I got it under control. You know, and all I can't get mad at them because I can remember when. You know, but all I tell them is, you can't say nobody will tell. Because I'm giving you the instruction, I'm giving you the information that you need to know, but it's up to you to accept it. You know, and so I can understand why so many people are resistant right now. You know why they're struggling. But the key is, it's for us who know better to give them the instruction and also to be the example before them. Because the bottom line, they still have to make a choice. They have to make a choice themselves. I had a young man today, one of the students last week, the teacher and his mom to him and talk about some decisions that he's making, you know, and I asked him, you know, not a baby, right? You know the difference between what is right and what is wrong, right? And I'm asking him, like, are the decisions you're making right now, are they good decisions or bad decisions? And he was like, they're bad decisions. I said, so you know they're bad decisions, but you're still making them. I said, so you gotta make the determination that I'm not. I said, because you're making the bad decisions on having an effect. Because your mom asked me to speak to you, and your teacher asked me to speak to you. I said, do you care how it's making them feel? And he said, yes. And I said, so if you care how it's making them feel, it's up to you to make better decisions. Because you don't want to see them hurt, right? You don't want to let them down. He said, no. And so I'm like, so you got to make some better decisions. I said, it's up to you. Nobody else can do it. Mom can't do it for you. Your teacher can't do it for you. All we can do is advise you, but you got to do it. And he did good that whole week. The whole week. And today, I was thinking about him today. I seen his mom. I didn't see him. And as I came in contact with him, she was like, I seen her face. And I had the same conversation. I'm like, listen, it's a choice. And this is the same thing we're talking about. It's a choice. It's not that we don't know. It's not that we're not getting information. But it's about us making a choice. To accept the wisdom that we're receiving and to apply it. Because, see, we can get the wisdom. But if you don't apply it, it don't mean anything. It don't mean anything. And too often, we apply it for a minute. We apply it for a minute, and then we get into ourselves, we get comfortable, we go back to doing what we always did. And that's where that folly comes in at. Because the enemy ain't gonna stop trying to take you off track. His job is to get you off the wrong path, even if he just gotta nudge you just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just take a sip. Just stay out a little past 12. Just hang out with that person. Don't you look nice? You know, all those different things, it's just to get you off the path that you're trying to stay on. And slowly but surely, you don't even realize it. You wait a minute. With no intention on you even getting that far. But you don't even realize how far you drifted off the path. And that's just how easy it is. That's just how easy it is. It says here, the fear of the Lord is key to wisdom. True wisdom starts with recognizing God's authority. True wisdom is recognizing God's authority. You know, and when they start talking about fear of the Lord, what do you think about when they dealt with this before? What do you think about when you talk about fear of the Lord?
I don't think it means like when we first started to say that it didn't mean like be scared, be fearful. I feel like it means like the love, like the knowledge that you get. That's what I'm getting out of it. Because, you know, you have to sit and really have the knowledge of God.
What do you think?
More so like, if you know better, you do better. And people don't have knowledge that unaware of certain things, the consequences I feel like is not as severe as a person that they know better but going against what they know, if that makes sense.
So when you think about your parents and
excuse me, I'm sorry.
It's an honor. It's an honor that you have of them. That you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to do anything wrong. So it's not a fear that it's a consequence for your action. It's a reverence that there's such a respect that you don't want to let them down. You know, and that's what I was sharing with the young man. Do you want to disappoint your mom? Do you want to disappoint your teacher? Do you want to disappoint God? So if your decisions are causing them to be disappointed in your actions, that means that's something you shouldn't do. You know, and that's where that reverence comes in. That's what, you know, I was talking to talking the other day. I was talking to someone. We were talking about growing up and how there was the respect for elders. That there were certain things that you didn't do around them. They might have known you did them, but they didn't see you do them. Because there was such a respect that you had for them. And it's lost. It's lost. And I believe that comes from that moral fabric that your parents give you, mom, grandma, nana. You know, they taught you. You you know those things like that. And that's lost. I think it has been lost. You know, and the only way we can give that back is for us, those in the body of Christ, to be that example, to show them something different, and to even share the wisdom of God with them. You know, so they can have something to grab hold of. You know, I still say, ma'am, sir, to a whole lot. Very important. Here it says, the difference between the wise and the foolish, verses 7 through 12. It says, do not reprove the scorner. It says, fools hate correction, but wise people appreciate it. The foundation of wisdom is fear of the Lord. And then verse 11, it says, wisdom leads to a longer and more fulfilling life. Wisdom leads to a longer and more fulfilling life. But then it says, in the next verse, if you reject wisdom, you suffer alone. You suffer alone. That's a hard place to be. I was listening to something coming in here today. It was talking about losing, it was dealing with revelation. It was dealing with not being able to hear God. Just imagine. I don't know about you, but not to hear God. I can't hear my mom's voice. I can hear it. But I can't hear it auditorily. Like, I can't hear it in that sense. But I can hear her speak to me. But just imagine. You know, because my mom is gone. And you can relate. But you can still hear her voice. But just imagine not being able to ever hear that voice. Not to have that remembrance. And this is what we do when we get away from our relationship with God. And that's what he's talking about, that alone, suffering alone. Because you don't have nothing good coming to you. Just imagine that. Everything that you deal with is negative.
You hear somebody telling you stuff that's making it worse.
Yeah, it's all negative. It's all negative. Just imagine a life like that. And this is the thing that we have to be conscious of. Because the more we get away from God and his word, the more distant his voice becomes in our lives. And that's what he's talking about here in the scripture. Because this is what Solomon started to suffer from. God's voice became distant to him. It's over there on the side. And if you can, you can bring it to us. You can bring it back over. And you walk towards our camera. But it's okay. So here it says, and we got a comment. And it says, correction reveals your character. How you respond to criticism shows whether you are wise or foolish. Yeah, you said it last week. See, one thing about scriptures, it always gives revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, scriptures always give revelation. Yeah, we got a comment over here.
I just
wish I could the word applicable to everything. So Solomon, you reference to Solomon that he should just mention. But most of them don't realize that Solomon lost his mind. Because he didn't follow the wisdom that God was giving to him. He literally lost his mind. And that is a lonely place. So when that scripture talks about being alone, it's not just talking physically being alone. It means that your mind cannot comprehend being attached or being in the company of people, things, or the Spirit of God that can make you feel better. And you can't hear the wisdom anymore. So really, literally, in your mind, which is spinning, you're alone. Solomon was a king. He wasn't physically alone. He had thousands of people around him. But to be alone in the mind, it's like being in prison. Because your mind operates everything about your physical body, not your spirit man, but your physical body, and all your emotions. So that was the first thing I wanted to mention. Second thing is, to be alone, a lot of times, again, does not mean that you're not around people, though. Being alone means that you can't find somebody who understands you. You don't receive the love that you're searching after. And you don't even know yourself enough to know what you're seeking. Loneliness will do all that kind of confusing things in you. I just want that to share that.
Yes. You know, and that's so important because, like you said, Solomon wasn't alone. He had so many people around him. Nobody can understand what he was doing. You know, see, sometimes we can have people around us that don't have no good intention for us. You know, when I talk about all you hear is negative things, all is nothing positive, it's nothing to build you up, it's nothing to encourage you, it's nothing to make you feel better. All it is just making you feel worse than you were. You know, and here, number two, it says, the fear of the Lord is key to wisdom. True wisdom starts with recognizing God's authority. You know, and see, us being able to recognize God's place in our life is so important. You know, and a lot of our lives begin to change when we put God first. You know, I know for myself, I can't speak for you. You know, I know for myself, my life really began to change when I made God number one. And there was a point, even when I was in church, I thought I was putting God first. You know, but the reality was, my wife was first in my life. So what she was saying, that's where I was going. You know, but and then I realized later on, I had the wrong position. It's supposed to be God first and then my wife.
That's right.
God should always be that first authority. You know, because my wife said to me, she said, God will never let me down. God will never let me down. But man, we all fell one way or the other. And it's not intentional. It's not intentional. But we're human. We're human. We're gonna fail one way or another. And if you put that person on that pedestal, just imagine. And then we look at right now, and we can go through a whole list of all these people that we nowadays, artists and stuff like that, Puff Daddy, R. Kelly, just name a whole bunch, you know, who people had them on such a pedestal, looked at them, and then they hit that bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And now you put them on that pedestal and you looked up to them, now who do you have to look at? Now, what does that say about you? How do you feel now? You know, it changes how your perception is of people. And then it even changes you. That's so important. That's so important right there. Number three, it says, your decisions have long-term consequences. Wisdom leads to better life, while foolishness brings destruction. You know, and like I said, I can't speak about anybody else here. I can only speak about myself. And I know when I operated in my own foolishness, all it led to was destruction. But when I began to apply the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the people God placed in my life, all my life, I began to see I was living life. You know, I say this, my pops that say this, it's the difference between living and existing. And there's too many people out here right now that's just existing and not really experiencing life the way God wants us to.
Okay, so I did Bible studies on Sunday. And I feel like, you know, your decisions are long term consequences. So 1 John 2:11, it says, but anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness is blinding them. To me, now I feel like I'm glad I came today because now I feel like that kind of makes a little more sense because we being foolish does lead to destruction because now we have nowhere to go. We're by ourselves, not by ourselves, but we're stuck in this bubble of darkness. We can't see anything, we can't do anything because, you know, we hated everybody. We wouldn't have cared about everybody around us. We didn't take any accountability for our actions. And now that we have, you know, people have pushed us away because they've given us all the wisdom they can. But now we have to figure out to get out of it on our own because nobody wants to help us.
Because we wore out the help. You know, but see, that's what's so awesome about God. God never gives up. He never gives up on us. What happens is, like you said, we give up on ourselves. And also, we put other people in front and expect it from other people, and then when they don't give it to us now, we're disappointed. Like you said, we want to point fingers at them. Go ahead, Elder.
Huh?
Okay.
She just said something. I would be up for one reason, but I have to. Often those of us who have been in the Word a long time will say something, I always say to you, without giving you clarification or understanding. Right? And like Pastor Rob just said, God never turns his back on us. But there's a word in the Bible that says that he will turn you over to a reprobate mind. And people interpreted that as God turning his back on you. That's not what that means. What that means is because he will never turn his back on you, he will allow you to only be concentrated and have the desires that are in your heart. We already know that the heart is wicked, right? That's what the word says. So if God always allows you only to get what you got in your heart, then you can't get what's in him. I'm not making any sense to you. Okay. So in essence, people will say, well, he does turn his back on us. No, he doesn't. But he will allow you, if you continue not to, and I'll take you to the repertoire, I want to read the scripture to you. At least I want to try. Here's my phone code. Okay. You mentioned Solomon, Ecclesiastes is Solomon's chapter, right? What they call it. It's called Song of Solomon. A whole lot of love stuff going on there in that book. I mean, really much. Y'all think y'all got it there. But anyway, Solomon, Ecclesiastes 8:12. And 13, Solomon in the Ecclesiastes is counseling us, but particularly young folks, to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Why am I saying that? Because you're talking about not listening, not using the wisdom, the counseling that you're getting. And most of us in our youth don't. But he's telling us that there is a possibility for you if you concentrate on God, that even when you're young and don't understand it, if you follow the wisdom and the counsel that you're given, that you will be able to overcome that if you do it in your youth.
And you know, it's so important. I tell a lot of people this a lot, you know, because my journey really started after I came home when I was 32 years old. And my mission was to try to get them what I didn't know, to try to give them what I didn't have. And I try to remind them, you looking up at me, I said, just imagine if you start doing what I was doing at 32, and you start doing it now at 19, 18, how much more would God place on your life? Not that you're not going to have trials and tribulations, because the enemy wants to stop you. You know, so those trials and tribulations are going to come, but they can't stop you unless you stop. Can't stop you unless you stop. So, and this here goes to the modern application, and we're about to close, even though we didn't really finish everything here. But the key is, be teachable. Be teachable. Don't reject advice or correction. True success leads to spiritual wisdom, not just knowledge and skills. If you ignore wisdom, you alone will suffer the consequences. And I won't even touch on that because not just you alone suffer the consequences. Those that are connected to you will suffer also. Because now you're not in a position to do what God has purposed you to do in their life. Actually, you know, I know I suffered the consequences that people connected to me suffered the consequences. For 13 years, I wasn't in a position. And so it's important that we don't just think about ourselves and the decisions that we make. We reflect on those who are connected to us. And each one of you have children here, you know, so every decision you make don't just affect you, they affect your children. You know, it may seem like, it's not going to be. It does. It does. And we talked about this earlier in the early part of this here chapter, this here passage of scripture, where we talk about some decisions we made as youth getting in relationships and children coming out of it, and now you're not in a relationship no more, how things suffer, you know, and those are consequences. So little things that we think are minute and they don't really have no real consequences can end up having long term consequences. Amen. So family, with that, we're going to close out that deep dive in chapter 9. There's so much more we have here that we didn't really even get a chance to get into. But we encourage you to come be part of it next week. We're going to be on chapter 10. And we'll close out chapter 9 as we push into chapter 10. But come be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest. Not only on Wednesday nights, Friday nights, Monday. We have something going on each and every day here at Harvest. And we pray that what we're offering and what we're doing has insight into your life and help you be a better person, because all we want to do is feed God's people. Feed God's people with what He has given us. So on behalf of Dr. William, First Lady, and the Free Harvest family, we want to say good night. When God has placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. You can sow a seed to the information there online that you see. Because as we say, the word doesn't cost. However, what ministry does cost. And what we're trying to do here is costly. So we want to do more. And with your help, we can. So with that, I'm going to say God bless you.